Stay tuned for the Man of God shows with Mr. Man.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. I will counsel you and watch over you.
Yeah, this is Mr. Man. I'm glad you enjoyed the introduction I gave you and the first Man of God shows. I've decided not to use my first name, but just refer to myself as Mr. Man, because that's what God created, was a man, and he created a new man. And when he created the church, he created one new man with one head, and the second Adam, who was the new man to replace the old Adam that didn't do very well. And I wanted to start today by just referring to the Lord having to say of himself, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. That's Revelations chapter 1, verse 8. Right before that is the scripture that I love to share with people, referring to the end times, which we've been in since John referred to in his epistle, us being in the end times and us knowing it. And these times are a long time, obviously, but the longer that they transpire, the more we realize we're drawing close to the second coming. The verse just before verse 8, of course, is verse 7. It says, Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. That's Revelations chapter 1, verse 7. When the Lord refers to himself as Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, he's also saying that everything in between is covered by him, that there's nothing that he doesn't see, and there's nothing that he doesn't consider, that everything is taken into account where the Lord's concerned, and that his story is the beginning from the ending, it's the beginning and the ending, and it's the middle, everything in between. In other words, there is no story that you can tell before the Lord or after the Lord, and everything in between has the Lord included in it. That's why I like to say that the word history is the Lord's story. It's his story. Now, when we refer to the clouds that the Lord comes with, I believe what the Lord is saying, that he's coming with many witnesses, a mighty cloud of witnesses, like the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, that we're part of that cloud of witnesses, all of us that are alive and remain here on the earth today, because it's his spirit that quickens us and gives us that witness. And we have this witness in us that we are his children and that he's coming back for us in a way that the whole world can see and identify. The whole world will see the Lord's return. It won't be a secret coming. There is no 2.5 comings of Jesus. The first one where he walked on the earth, died on the cross, rose from the dead, lived on the earth for 40 days, was seen by many, and at the end was caught up into the clouds at Jerusalem with many witnessing his ascension into heaven, the clouds taking him and making him depart out of their sight. The two angels that stood there said to the apostles, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus shall return as you have seen him go in like manner. Now what the Lord is going to do is he's going to appear, not invisibly indicate that he may be somewhere nearby because all kinds of people on the planet disappear, but he will appear. And it says every eye shall see him. This is how he opens the book of Revelation up. This is what we have to expect, that many people that say that the second coming is in regard to the saints, a secret rapture, but in regard to Israel, at the end of a tribulation period, it's an appearing. There's one second coming of Jesus at the time that the first resurrection takes place, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, that We shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air in the moment of a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That last trump is the moment that the experience of Revelation 1:7, behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, is when that occurs. What you need to do is look in the book of Revelation for where the last trump is talked about and see what the evidence is, the event is, that takes place at that moment. You'll discover that the second coming is at the same period of time that the two witnesses stand up, their dead bodies receiving life again in Jerusalem after having lain slain in the street for 3.5 days. They'll stand up when they hear a voice say, come up hither, and they'll rise up to meet the Lord in the air. That's when the last trump occurs. Right then it says that the Lord will have his reward with him and will reward all those that are his, great and small, prophets, apostles, and saints. And his reward is with him at his coming, like it says at the end of the book of Revelation. So the last trump is explained also in Revelation 19. It's the same event that Jude refers to when it says the Lord will come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all the ungodly and all their ungodly speeches and all the things that they've ungodly uttered against him with all of his saints. That's the same experience that happens in Revelation 19. So what you see by this is that the Lord is saying in Revelation 1:7, Revelation chapter 11, and Revelation 19, that is the same event that's taking place when the last trump occurs that Paul spoke of to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:52, when he said that we would be caught up to meet him in the air and we would be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So this event that takes place is when the armies of the Lord follow him from heaven to come down to wreak havoc on the earth, to bring the wrath of God on all the ungodly and all their for all their ungodly deeds, to bring the wicked into judgment with the Lord leading the way. When we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, we're changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're given our reward in regard to our horses that we ride on, in regard to the new clothing that we receive, the new bodies that he gives us, and we're returning with him to the earth instantly as his army to wreak vengeance on the earth. Like he says, you know, this is one of the rewards that he gives to those who are become, that they will beat the nations into submission with rods of iron, that they'll trample underfoot the wicked with hooves of brass. And the Lord will lead us with his sword proceeding out of his mouth, sharper than any two-edged sword. And this is that same word which is being spoken to you today. Don't prepare yourselves to find a way to secretly be caught up in the air out of any daily activity that you are now engaged in, and never change your direction and never change your heart and always live in this world as if it will go on forever and ever. And in a moment, you'll be caught up. Your clothes will be in a pile on the floor or in your car or wherever you are at the time. That's not the kind of coming that takes place. It's at the end of a long string of events that the Lord refers to in Revelations, the book of Revelations, when he refers to the seals being opened and the trumpets being blown and the vials being poured out. Now, the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh vial, that will all occur at the exact same time at the end of the Great Tribulation period. That period won't be a seven-year period. 3.5 years of that 70th week of Daniel's prophecy occurred when the Lord walked on the earth and the Messiah was cut off, yet not for himself, in the middle of that week. So 1260 days, or 3.5 years of that 70th week, each day representing a year that already took place during the first half of Jesus' ministry. The second half of Jesus' ministry, which will be through his two witnesses and the rest of us that remain on this earth, having the second half of that 70th week being fulfilled, will occur in a period, what most people refer to as the tribulation, a very short period of time at the end of that 3.5 years will be great tribulation, that he says he will actually put saints that didn't overcome into to suffer. But those that are not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ and endure to the end through obedience, will be in that period of time not suffering, but being protected from his wrath, because they're his, and the Lord knows those that are his. And all throughout history and all throughout the Bible, we have evidence over and over again when the Lord would heap judgment on a nation or on a people, and his people that were in the midst of it, like the three Hebrew children that were in the midst of the fiery furnace, weren't injured or hurt at all. Just like Noah. In the days of Noah, Jesus said it would be like that in the end times. We won't be hurt or injured during that period of time. We'll be protected. We'll be those that are under the wings of the hen, as the Lord said, he would gather his children under his wings to Jerusalem many times, but they continually rejected him. Well, we are that new Jerusalem now that he will protect and defend. So I come to you with this message. Look unto the Lord for a coming that every eye will see. Those that mourn, those that pierced him will mourn when they see him, as one mourns for their only begotten son, it says in the book of Zechariah. And that's the kind of coming that will happen. It'll be a bombastic appearance where we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and it'll be a wartime situation. We'll be returning with him instantly with our reward, and we'll be bringing his kingdom, manifesting it into the earth at that time. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. This is Brother Man saying, see you for now, and I'll talk to you again soon. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
The beginning of wisdom.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.